Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Kimberly, Leonard.
Great. How is this sound? Is it okay?
Yeah. Are you getting an echo at all?
No.
As I talk? No? Because it's important, as podcasters, our sound has to be on point.
Mm-hmm. I usually record like this, but I do have these little ear things if you want me to put them in.
No, I'm good. You know, did you spend a lot of money on equipment for your podcast?
No. I mean, I have a webcam, and that's really where the sound is recording from, is the webcam, I think.
No, you're recording right here on the edge. Where's my postcard? Right now, brains, that is Dr. Kimberly Leonard. We're going to talk podcasts and mindset and how she got so many subscribers on her YouTube. What is some of the secret sauce to success? Why is she even bothering to do this? And the challenges that we face as podcasters. So, brains, help me welcome her to the edge right there. Just as cute as she can be in blue, Dr. Kimberly Leonard. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be on your show.
I'm excited to be you, to be on my show. You're so smart. What is your doctorate in?
It's in behavioral optometry.
Behavioral optometry. So if I put those two together, that would be maybe the watchful eye of the mind.
Is that sounds really wonderful, but that's not really what I do. But what I do is I assess the whole person, not just their eyes. So wow. I'm looking at every area of life, not just vision, not just eye health.
Well, that's beautiful. So how did you get into this work? Tell me a little bit about your backstory.
Well, just starting out, I knew that I wanted to help people and I didn't like blood. So going into optometry was the best one because I didn't have to do shots or blood or anything like that. And I was able to help people. But once I started getting into it and learning all the diseases and things like that, I thought to myself, this isn't enough for me. I need to do more than just go sleuthing for people's eye diseases and prescribing glasses. It just wasn't enough stimulation. And so really early on, I started working with a doctor who does vision therapy. And one of the reasons I went into that is when I was in school, we had a rotation where we'd work in the pediatric clinic and we did vision therapy, which is eye brain exercises to help people just do better as far as reading or understanding or in sports, things like that. And I worked with a little boy, his name was Darren. And when he came in, he was a sweet little boy, really polite, but he came in, he's looking down at the floor all the time. He didn't smile. Didn't seem very happy. And I didn't really know what I was doing being a student, but I just followed what I was taught. And I started working with this child and I would do therapy with him in our therapy room. And then I would send him home with eye exercises to do at home with his mom. Mm-hmm. After about 4 weeks, he started coming in and he was smiling. And he was happy and his head was up and like, oh, this is great. Cause this is a sweet, sweet kid. And so I said to him, Darren, I'm just curious. Has anything changed since we started working together? He said, oh yes, it has. And I said, well, what is it, Darren? And he said, well, I don't feel stupid anymore. I said, what do you mean you don't feel stupid anymore? He said, well, when I used to have to read out loud in class, everybody laughed at me because I couldn't read. He said, but now I can read and nobody laughs at me. Aww. And that just like, oh, got a hold of my heart. And I thought if I could just do that over and over thousands of times, it would be worth, my whole life would be worthwhile. Wow. If I could just do that for, you know, one person after another, because these issues that Darren was experiencing, if you don't fix them, they don't really go away.
Right.
So you know, as I got older, and I opened my own therapy clinic, I started working with executives, people who were CEOs of their company. And they came in saying, you know, I've always secretly felt stupid. And when it came time to like have a meeting or have meeting notes read or something where something has to be read out loud, they would always pass it off to someone else to do that because they knew they would stumble over the words, even as bright and as brilliant, as successful as they were. And so, you know, the fact that I could do that over and over, that's how I got into that.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Because I had a reading challenge. And, you know, you always have the grammar police. I was a little dyslexic, you know, and it's just a different way of learning. Transposing letters, I wasn't able to hear certain phonetic sounds, you know. But, and my daughter had the same thing. I had an expert on that was talking a little bit about that. And it's just amazing how reading can change your life.
Mm-hmm. It really can.
You know,
and it just opens up opportunities. If you can't read that well, it's you have less opportunities. I mean, college is tough.
Right. But even older people, you know, I've read in the newspaper where, you know, 70 and 80 year old people have started to learn to read because they never did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was surprised at some of the high end celebrities that don't know how to read. And you just automatically assume it's like swimming, you know. Not as many African-American, I shouldn't, you know, lump us all together, but we don't swim, you know? So sometimes it's a cultural thing. Sometimes it's lack of access, but you have springboarded. So you started this podcast. Let's talk about this podcast. Number one, okay, you introduce it. You tell me about your podcast.
Okay. So my podcast is called Incredible Life Creator. And on it, I interview people from different walks of life to find out what gives them happiness, what gives them fulfillment, how they're putting their gifts out into the world. The intention of the podcast is one, to highlight people who are doing amazing things in the world. Two, to inspire people to find their passion and their purpose and to live it. Because sometimes people don't find their passion or don't know what they're supposed to be doing here in life because they haven't been exposed to it. So the idea for me was to get a variety, as many different kind of people as possible, because this person is going to resonate with one person and another guest is going to resonate with someone else. And that will, you know, open the possibilities. I'm all about opening up possibilities, opening up choices. That's what I do with my work.
And that's what I did with my podcast. You know, I take it extremely seriously. I vet my guests. Sometimes, you know, it's a good fit. Sometimes it's not in alignment with what my brains would expect. Not necessarily me, but you become a media source, you become an influencer, an impactor, and you have to be very careful and selective what you attach your name, you know, and your good intentions, because you may not share the same views. So talking about views, you have a lot of views on YouTube. Do you have any secret tips for us podcasters that are trying to build our numbers there?
Well, I have to say that it started out very, very slowly. It started out very, very slowly. And part of it is making requests, asking my guests and my listeners and my friends, hey, can you please subscribe? Can you please listen? Because it's key. Not only do you have to have them subscribing, but they need to be listening. You know, a bunch of subscribers with no one listening, you don't have an effective podcast. And, you know, one of the other things that really helped me is I hired someone who does SEO,
okay,
which they actually, and I don't even know how they do it, but yeah, they somehow use this SEO to find people who are your target audience who would be interested in the podcast anyways. And basically they're introducing these people to the podcast and they say, oh yeah, I would be interested. And they come and listen.
So how long have you had your podcast?
The podcast I've had for 2 years, the YouTube channel I've had for about a year, maybe less than a year.
Yeah, I've had mine for about a year too. The numbers are good, but you know what? I want organic, authentic touches. Just like you said, you know, I don't need a bunch of fake numbers. Oh, mm-hmm. We have a million followers. Well, good. I want 100,000 leaders. Somebody that's going to do something, that's going to pour something into the world to raise that, you know, relationship capital. Because a lot of folks are just out there jawjacking, and you got a lot of responsibility. So how do you pick your guests? How do you vet your guests? What's your process? A little bit.
First of all, I look for people who are trying to make a difference in the world. I look for people who have a story that could inspire other people. One of the things I do every time I interview someone is I want to know their story. I want to know their story because a lot of times someone will look at another person and go, oh, they are so successful. I will never get there. I could never get there. They're just too high up. They just look like they're doing things naturally. But what they didn't know is this person had pivots. This person had ups and downs, big ups and downs. Sometimes there was
a sickness or
a disaster in their life that sent them up to where they are. It's the curves going around the curves and coming back around and seeing what's there and being willing to go into the unknown that allows us to become successful and to really find our purpose and to do what we're supposed to do.
I agree 100%. So you have a program called CrossFit for Your Brain. Okay. Anything that has to do with the brain, we are there right here on the edge. We are brains, thought leaders, heady, smart. This is where you edit and filter your information. You sort it out. You store it, right? The brain. How do we get CrossFit? If it's a workout like this one, I should be a superhero.
All right. Yeah. Well, actually, I do CrossFit. So I do that for my body. I love CrossFit. I'm addicted to it like many other people. But I actually designed something maybe 10, 12 years ago, and I'm just now having the chance to launch it. And it's called Optic Brain Fit. And it's a combination of vision, brain, and movement.
Vision, brain, and movement. Okay.
Done in a gym setting where you actually come in and do a workout of the day, just like CrossFit. And it's scaled so anybody can do it. So I can work with someone who has special needs. I don't like that word, but someone who has more challenges. I can work with someone who is older, who is starting to, they're worried about losing their memory, things like that. We can work with visual memory. I can work with elite athletes. I can work with executives. I can work with anyone who wants to just enhance their life. And that's by connecting your brain and your body. And when they're connected, and of course there's the spirituality part that I don't talk about much, but when you connect these parts, the spiritual comes in also.
Because you really turn into more of, you know, energy than matter. So you have to connect on that frequency. I'm with you. My brain's with you. You ain't got to sugarcoat it. You got to give it to them 110%. That's the only way they know how to get it. But it's really important that we, again, exercise your brain because it's a muscle, you know, and it'll be ending up looking like a wet noodle. That's not a good look, brains. Mm-hmm. So what do you do for fun and recreation?
Well, CrossFit is definitely one of those. And, I like to spend time with friends. Oh. And I am a, water person. If I can go to the beach, go to the pool, anywhere there's water, I'm really, really happy, whether I'm in it or walking next to it.
Right.
I love that.
That's wonderful. So, are there any programs, offerings that you'd like to share with my brains? I want them to tune into your podcast. See, brains, you know, we want not just the numbers, but we want you to listen to the content. This is work. They think, Kimberly, that we're just, you know, playing around here. You got to create content. You got to upload. You got to edit. You got to deal with the individuals. Make sure you're representing yourself and your brand. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel?
It is a lot of work, and you have to be consistent. That's the thing I found.
Consistency is key. Because once you start building an audience and people start following you, I mean, everybody's popping up like dandelions. Oh, I'm going to start a podcast. Well, it's one thing to start it. I've had mine for 17 years, you know, and it started when podcasting was in its infancy. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, equipment. It's great to have the state of the art. You want to have a great mic. You want to have some great headphones. You always want to have that as a part of your, you know, your work equipment. But for the most part, it's, you know, using the telephone or using the Zoom and really take advantage of those and learn how to master those and master your message and craft your message. What do you think it takes to be a good interviewer, Kimberly?
I'm not an, I don't even feel like I'm an expert in this because I'm still learning. But for me, the most important thing is to listen. So I ask a question and I listen, and I'm listening because I want to think about what questions are my listeners wanting to know? What do they want to know about this person? And so I take what the person's saying and I ask the questions I think my listeners would want to know the answer to. But I think listening is important. And I also try and find questions that I think no other podcaster or interviewer has asked them. So sometimes, you know, we're talking to a professional person and I say, how did you meet your wife? Tell me the story about how you met your wife.
I do the same
or, thing. You know, things like that, because we're real people. I don't want to just, you know, I do want to give the content of their expertise, but we're real people. I want people to connect with them as a person, not just as an expert.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because again, that's just, you know, that's how we're going to survive. So what is all of this going through COVID and being in timeout? What has it taught you about yourself and about humanity?
Oh, so many things. But it just emphasized the fact that one of my core values is freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And as I saw different things happening, it even made me more dedicated to get as much content out as possible, because what we have, what every single person has, is their voice. And so I want to use my voice and I want to help as many people as possible use their voice to say, okay, this is who I am. This is what I choose. This is, you know, I am expressing myself. Because, you know, you look around and you see people walking around with a mask, and, you know, people have different ideas about that. I'm not even going to go into that. But, you know, I see it as my mouth is covered. My voice is covered. I don't want my voice covered. I want it.
You know what I say? Free. Good. Your mouth is covered. You're protected. I'm protected. It's an invisible devil, you know, and I'm going to err on the side of caution because, you know, I deal with scientists and research. And again, we don't have to be political about it. But if you don't want to do it, I'm not going to sweat you. But don't be bothering me because I want to do it. What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. And that's with anything. It's choices and options. It's about having a conversation. It's about being heard, having a voice. And we're fortunate enough to have a microphone in front of our face because we are sharing great content, great information. We got to get you some postcards, Kimberly.
I know. I put on my postcard. You sent me one.
We got to get that. Yeah. And we got to get you a coffee mug. So I wanted to thank you so much for being here and sharing your podcasting tips and your information and really what your purpose is and your message is, because again, there's so many podcasters out there. I read somewhere it grows over 200,000.
Wow, that's a lot.
I know. But again, are you being heard? Are you delivering a valuable message? Are you responsible? Are you consistent? Are you showing up when people say they're going to listen to you? Are you diversified? Are you monetized? Really? All this content and work, you know, you got to make some money, brains. You can't do it for shit and giggles because you're cute. So again, thank you so much, cutie, for being here on The Edge. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you and follow you and listen to you.
Okay. Well, the best place to really connect with me is either on Facebook or LinkedIn, just under my name, Kimberly, KimberlyLinert. I also have a website with my name, drkimberlylinert.com, where you can find out more about the podcast or my book or, you know, different things that I'm doing. But I'm not very administrative. So if you really want to connect with me, the social media is the best way.
Where's your book at? Let me see your book.
I didn't bring it with me, but,
okay. Well, I'll tell you what, send me a picture of it.
Okay.
And we'll post it. So before we go, I want to hear about the book, because you didn't tell me you had a book. What's in the pages of your book? What'd you write about?
It's called Visualizing Happiness in Every Area of Your Life. And, I decided to write it because I had been in the therapy space for a long time, working with people one-on-one, and I wanted to be able to help a huge number of people, like as my legacy. And so I wrote this book, and it's just kind of a step-by-step guide of finding out, okay, who am I? What do I like? What's important to me? How do I put that all together and actually organize that into my life? So when I get to the end of my life, I can look back and be satisfied. It's not like, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Let's make it happy now. I also started my interviewing at that point, because I interviewed people from different walks of life, just like I'm doing with the podcast, and their stories are interspersed throughout the book.
Oh,
anyone
wow.
From a monk to a lady who was in the automotive industry to, you know, someone, Greg Reed, who was the head of Secret Knock. So some really interesting stories in there.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, again, keep doing what you're doing. Don't get off the airwaves, because, you know, you got it. You definitely got it. Longevity. And you never know. We may start our own podcast nation, just start a revolution and create our own conglomerate, right? Because we got to think big. We got to think outside of what we're doing. You have to expand that reach. It's like the airwaves. You want to get more listeners and all that, so we have to expand. And sometimes that's a collaboration. And we do that here on The Edge. We collaborate with great people like this. Kimberly, I want to spell her name correctly. It's K-I-M-B-E-R-L-E-Y. Okay, mm-hmm. Leonard, L-I-N-E-R-T. So she ran through that pretty quick. Don't be looking for the other Kimberly, because you won't find her. I want you to find this Kimberly right here. All right? Thank you so much. Brains, please go like, love, subscribe, hit that bell. So when we have a new interview, you know, me or Kimberly, absolutely, you can click right on. Give us 30 minutes of your time, quick and slick. We're doing it for you, okay? We love you from the bottom of our socks, because our heart just isn't deep enough. Bye, Brains.